You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Take one. Knock, knock.
Who it is?
We're Stephen and Dana, and we can't believe you found our fucking
podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning.
We're Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
I can see you.
I'm there. We're doing a cute little Google chat, and I was not prepared for the visual element of today's episode, but boy, am I glad I showered.
You specifically put in the email, there will be no visual element.
Specifically, and then I hoodwinked
this
y'all.
This Tony Awards cap is my cat's bed.
Yeah, I'd be allergic to your hat, for
100%.
Sure. 100%. I'd have to sleep 100%. In another
room.
Cats are terrible. Anyway, today's episode is sponsored by Cats, and we're still doing our Getting Cozy with Castmates. So you've seen, you know, Broadway castmates, cabaret castmates, and today we have like sketch comedy duo castmates, and we're
so
excited to have them. So many different kinds of casts you can be.
All original.
Some are given to you by a hospital professional.
Yeah, some you can sign.
Stephen, want to do a little update for the listeners? What have you been doing?
About my thing?
I know what you've been doing.
I have a thing.
I'm so impressed.
Honey, thanks. Go to allinktothat.com. I made a thing where there never was a thing.
Oh, I love it so much.
Thanks,
it really
honey.
Scratches that itch of like a niche-y, if you love a lady over the age of 60, you know, and you love a black and white, you know, digital print, go to allinktothat.com.
Yeah, I've been tapping into my arts, and now you can like get my art on a t-shirt or on a mug.
I have a print, a Bette Midler standing in front of a car print, and I love it, and I'm getting a frame for it for Christmas.
Wait, can I freak out for a second?
Yes.
Mary fucking Testa loved hers and wanted me to send her one.
Mary fucking Testa.
Mary fucking Testa.
So wait, how do you do that? Are you like, girl, it's $20? Or are you like, take it. It's free.
What size? That's what I said.
Oh my gosh. Hers was incredible because it looked exactly like Mary Testa. There's
no question.
Well, I also love the blog element of allinktothat.com.
Thanks, like, honey. It's ever growing. Listen, we're newly part of the Broadway Merchant Collective, which is all types of like Broadway folk with wares to bring to your home.
Hawk their shit.
Yeah. It's like the beginning of Les Mis. We're all kind of like, what you got?
When are you going to do an In the Room one? Asks your co-host.
Well, Henny, patience is a virtue.
All right. Well, I'm really bad at it. Everyone watch Broadway Fanatic on Broadway On Demand. It's free. All you got to do is put in your name and your frickin' email, and boom, you have an account, and boom, you can watch one of the only free original content series on the frickin' platform, Broadway Fanatic with Laura Haywood. Get into
it. Look at you, queen.
It's so fun, and it's teaching me a lot about, like, what's happening in the world of, you know, digital online Broadway fans doing shit. It's so fun.
Sure.
So fun. Speaking of Broadway people and Broadway fans who are Broadway people who are just incredible talents themselves, they also have a digital online sketch comedy thing. You can find them on Instagram. It's called Advent Carolender.
And they have a shop.
And they have some wares you can get your shit. Welcome to the stage, Julia Madison and Joel Wagoner.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much for having us. Yeah.
Hi there. Thank you.
Hi. Our listeners shall know Joel at this point because our goddamn theme song.
I did. Yeah. I wrote your theme song, and I was on an episode of your podcast where
very early,
and when listening back to it, I literally don't think I took a breath. I talked a million mile a minute, and I was like, how did anyone pay attention to that? But apparently you liked it.
It's one of my favorite episodes of all time because it was very, like, we were in an Oprah soul, you know, soul Sunday, whatever she calls that.
A soul.
It was a soul hole, and you went there, and those are my favorite interviews.
Oh, that was great. And that was back in my apartment, which I now have had to give up, and I transferred the lease because of these times. These times is hard, you know.
Times is hard.
I mean, you got to laugh or else you cry. Am I right?
Well, that's why, thank God for Julia.
Thank God.
And for soul
Julia.
Holes.
Julia.
And for soul holes.
Julia, I'm so excited to talk to you.
I know, I've never met you. Hi, it's good to meet you.
Guess what I found? Okay, some of you may know Julia from, like, everything, sketch comedy. Like, I've seen you at the Pit. Like, I saw you at the
Pit. No way.
Doing comedy. Yeah, it was like a night of something.
That was my first night in New York doing anything was at the Pit. I moved to New York with a musical I wrote called Human Centipede, the musical, which was the movie of Human Centipede as a musical. And we did it at the Pit in 2011, 10, 11? Yeah.
Well, okay, so that was before Godspell, right?
Yes. That was right before. So I moved.
It's a perfect transition from one to the other, I think.
Broadway, Godspell, you know, Julia from Godspell.
I must say. Yeah, it was a quick shift. I moved to New York on June 1st. I auditioned for Godspell on June 3rd. I did Human Centipede the musical in June, spent a summer teaching children or doing like a Mommy and Me music time thing, and then got the job end of August, and then in September was in rehearsals. And I was like, is New York easy? Is this how it goes? And for 1 year, I believed it was.
And oh my gosh.
I can't believe I didn't know about Human Centipede the musical because that would have been a whole, I can't believe I learned that about you. I had a lonely Halloween 1 year where everyone was out and I was like, I'm just not in the mood to go out tonight. So I put on a wig alone in my house and watched Human Centipede with atomic wings. It was the loneliest, weirdest Halloween.
That's like serial killer behavior. I love it.
I know. I didn't. Right? I kept the wig on. Like, I kept it on.
Wait, so this is what our listeners are in for. Like, these are the brains that we're interviewing right now. And there's a reason they came together. But can I just show you very quickly? My Godspell.
Oh, my God. My heart.
Playbill plus the insert that says... At this performance, the role usually played by Morgan James will be played by Julia Madison.
That's
and that
right.
You made such an impact on me. I was like, who the fuck is this? Which
oh
is
God,
why
I
remember seeing you at the Pit like years later. This is probably like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's the girl from Godspell that I was so in love with. So,
that is so
marry
funny.
Me.
Yes, I'm ready. Let's do it. This is it.
Good. It's almost
2021.
Let's do
to all
it.
Of us, everyone. That's so funny. God.
We should cheers with all of our beverages.
We should.
Joel, cheers. Joel, I have your playbills as well, School of Rock and Be More Chill. Mm. But I'm not showing them.
Oh, no, I have every playbill from everything I've ever seen since I was a youth.
So you're a keeper. I think this is the thing, is do we keep or do we throw? And I think that a lot of people are in the Marie Kondo camp these days, but I have kept.
Oh, I'm a keeper, but I'm an organized keeper. I like do the little, I have one like genuine playbill binder because I got bar mitzvahed and that's all I wanted. Mm-hmm. But I've since found the Amazon equivalents of the shrunken binder with plastic insert.
I have barely anything to show for living in New York. Like I have lights in my apartment and like some pillows, but like my playbills are a physical something that's like, look what I did. Look what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Where else do you go and get like a free souvenir? I mean, that's if you're true. Me everywhere, but if you're anyone else.
Now, the amount of show cups.
I have the show cups, you know.
I'm drinking water from
you go to Disneyland, all you're getting is a map.
Yeah, I've got Tipsy at Tootsie water cup. Which is now a water cup, which was a double jug of wine for sure back in the day. Sure,
I will tell you what, during this pan, I like forbid myself to wear any clothes that like fit closely to the body. And so I've just been wearing all this merch. I'm currently wearing School of Rock sweatsuit, and the other day I had a School of Rock t-shirt. I mean, I don't have any clothes that aren't just like hoodies with labels from shows.
Yeah. Blast, they're probably perfect, right?
Yeah. They're great. I mean, like, except for when you realize you're like, oh, I might actually see somebody tonight. I need to put on a pair of jeans. I don't have them, you know.
I just bought Spanx jeans, and they're probably like $3,000, but they are jeans, but Spanx.
Wait.
For those moments where I need to go
send
out.
Send me that link.
Oh my God. Well, bus driver, send that link.
Send that link.
Anyway, let's get down to business, shall we?
Yeah, if that wasn't business, I don't know what is.
We shall.
Thank you. I needed everyone's consent.
In an ASMR
fashion. Advent calendar.
First of all, congrats on making that so a fish this year.
Thank you.
So a fish. It broke out last year and blew everyone's goddamn minds. It is tickling everyone from within beyond. Like, people just are dying to comment something witty in the comment section. Like,
I'm obsessed with the comments.
It's you know, so the funny. Comments are just as funny as the actual content.
Yeah.
Not really, but you know what I mean. Like, your fans are with it. They're savvy.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to say, confucking-grats. What, Steven?
I don't know how that... I need to know the genesis story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a good story.
It's a good
story. I don't even know how you two know each other.
Yeah. I mean, for years through friends and hangs, I feel like for a long time we would be like see each other at shows and see each other at friends shows and hang out, but never like knew each other or collaborated really until this world came about, which was that in 2018, my boyfriend Drew Gehling and I don't know if he's here. I don't know. I'll make him say hi. We had moved to this new home and I've always wanted to throw a big holiday party with like the cheesy sing-alongs and the drinks flowing and the whole thing, sweaters, you know, the whole nine yards. And I was talking to Joel and it basically was this really, what I thought was like just a very, very silly idea where it's like, what if we print out lyrics, like lyric books for everyone to carol, but snuck in between the Deck the Halls and Jingle Bells of the world, we sneak in like Oh Religious Christmas Song or Why I Saw, the songs that we ended up writing together, because Joel and I were like, what if we just kind of lead the night musically and just kind of sneak in a couple made up carols and make everybody sing them? And so it was to us something that we thought was just hilarious, but we were like, this is an experiment and everyone's gonna be drinking. It might just be really fun. And then we did it and we had a group till 5 a.m. scream singing, Why Is Sausage Not a Christmas Food? With multiple rounds. Why is cauliflower not a Christmas food? Why is people were singing, The cops were not called, but I came downstairs the next morning with a sign on the door saying, last night was unacceptable. If this happens again, the cops will be called immediately. And it was one of the greatest nights of my life. And one part of it that we both love and treasure so much is that our friend, the late, great Nick Cordero, was there at the party. Ooh. And he himself was the one who stayed. There were about six of us left by 5 a.m. He was the last round, the last hanger on in that group. And he was the one saying, like, you guys need to turn this into something. People need to hear these. Like, these are good. He loved Stable Girl more than anything. There's actually a comment, I think, on Stable Girl where he was like, if you need backup vocals, I'll fly across the country and sing them. So that was it's been a really special memory to get to keep doing this and be like, you know, it was one of the most fun nights ever that we were like, let's turn it into a fun thing to share with everybody. And like, it makes us laugh. So maybe people like us will laugh too.
Overarching. No, that's exactly right. I'm trying to think too of when Julia and I met, because of course we met through, you know, friends eventually, but I was a huge fan of Julia before she probably even knew who I was, because I had heard of Ruby Maje, her alter ego character. She's done all these amazing concerts at 54 Below. But also she, we did one show at 54 Below, a Christmas with a K with Katie Thompson, I think.
That's right.
I was there.
But barely saw each other, but I remember being like, she's the funniest person I've ever met. And then what really sealed the deal was when she played the mayor in a concert of Nightmare Before Christmas. And the smile never left her face. And I was like, that is the funniest person I've ever met in my entire life. Plus she can sing for all the deities. But then I made this page during School of Rock called Joel Capella, which was just me doing a bunch of little silly acapella, made up
this
songs
is what
of my
hooked
own.
Me for
they
life.
Were brilliant. They
and are then, brilliant. And then Julia commented on them. And I was like, and I told everybody, I was like, you guys, Julia Madison, she's verified, she likes my videos. I can't believe.
So stupid.
I know. But that's where we were back then. I was like, oh my god, you guys, Julia likes my videos. She laughed at them. She's watching them. And then and then one day, go ahead.
No, I just have to, the Joel Capella needs a moment of reverence, because I saw those. That's when I became truly obsessed with Joel, next level beyond someone I love that I see at a party and whatever. I watched these on repeat, showed them to everyone.
Showed them to everyone.
Everybody I knew.
Everyone.
And to the point
they're
where
so good.
Drew and I sing them around the house. We would start sharing that Drew's daughter, Annie, would start singing them. That now to this day, even now, maybe even yesterday, I'll be walking around and be like, it's a hairy nipple with a tiny mole. I have Joel Capella songs in my head for life. So everyone, please go back and watch those.
Well, and now we have how many songs have we written together? I don't know how many from the first calendar count as songs, but we've got over 80.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really a lot
trunk.
Easier to write a lot of songs when they're only a minute. It's a great
thank
challenge
you.
To cap it.
It is. And actually it's become a problem a little bit for me too, because now I have no attention span for a song longer than a minute. And it's very easy for me to write a song that is a minute.
No, it's we just get to the juicy stuff. It's let's get to the climax, let's get to the bridge. I think of it as musical tapas. It's a little sample platter of delicious bites, musical bites.
Amuse-bouches.
Amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouche.
A cassolette.
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
So if you haven't already gone or seen to @AdventCarolinder on Instagram, the premise is every day in all of December, you drop one of these minute genius musical moments, and they're fully you are bedecked, right? You're bedazzled.
Oh,
yes. You have on the Christmas garb, you have the Christmas background. How did all of that work? Where were you? How are there so many? did you do one weekend, all of them?
All of them in one day. We do a 12-hour day, and...
No, sorry. Yeah. This most recent one almost killed us, literally. The next day, we were texting each other, from horizontal positions with sore bodies.
Yeah. I didn't move once. It was like, so the first year, so I went to college with my dear friend Nathan Chang, who filmed all of these, and his production company, Hallelujah Creative, which is brilliant.
Yes.
They're in Brooklyn, and last year when we did it, I called him up, and he's like, yeah, I have a day free, come through, let's do this, this will be fun. And so last year, we probably came in with 14-ish songs, like, kind of written, and then we made up the rest and just had this day where we were like, let's see what happens. So a lot of those were improvised, and then this year, I think we were a little more prepared with some fully written songs, but then, like, the last few, there are a few in this 25 days that we were going to be like, what just happened there? We just made something up and threw it
today's,
out and lived.
Today's, for instance, yeah, today's was Same Note Christmas. Oh, yeah. Which was just an idea where it was like, how about we do Same Note? We're singing the same note, and then I like detour, and then like you go crazy on me. And so we just improvised a couple, yeah. And then there it was.
Brilliant. Yeah.
They're so good.
And today people can not get over themselves.
It's really, I mean, it's, I actually, I realized even last year, I've noticed from some friends' comments, I was like, oh, actually the ones that we made up last minute that we were like, I guess that counts as one, are some people's favorite ones. So we're like, let's just lighten the load, not stress ourselves out. It's all in good fun.
The stupider, the better.
That's right. And I should shout out that these sweaters are from Marshalls. and the decorations are from, Joel, do you want to share the dollar store?
They are from a Mexican dollar store on the corner of Columbus and 104th.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navs.
Eduardo Feliz.
Eduardo Feliz.
But part of the fun too is decorating it. Like, we spent like an hour and a half being like, no, move the bells toward the center. You know what? Put the stockings on the side.
Sure.
And Julia was like, I want the mistletoe right here. And I was like, yeah, my favorite too is we're all very specific, like, and we all have an OCD side. Like, Julia's incredibly organized and has like mastered this entire store. We'll get to that in a little bit. And that's part of what makes it fun is like we decorate everything and we get everything sort of to a T and planned enough. And then once the camera rolls, we're complete idiots. So it's this combination of like organized chaos that sort of makes it easier to be dumb.
I think that totally makes sense in what I realized like my life's purpose is, and I think it's for both of us. I'm obsessed with like meticulously planned, like highly executed dumb. Like, silly, dumb, done really well is my world.
Correct.
Forever. It makes my heart sing. And so I think when I find friends to play with who completely get that same world, that's what I think Joel and I found in each other too, where it's like, no, let's it's dumb, silly, but like, let's double down and make it, and do it right.
And of course, like,
dumber
Julia's,
and sillier.
Julia can sing literally any style, has the best range of all time. But she's like a ferocious writer and like lyricist and melodiest. Like, she'll send me voice memos that are so fully realized that I just have to write the chords down because they're already in the melody. I remember like a couple of our ones this summer. She did like Little Bird from the Coralander this summer, or like, there were tons of them. She just sent me a whole voice memo with the whole melody, and I would just set it to music with, it took me as long to write it as it did for her to sing it. So she's like a composer too. And we both love to perform our own work. And we love to sing in all different styles. And we like also take pride in our musicianship. So I have this thing for like music with actual integrity, but like comedy with total disrespect for that integrity, almost. Like, I can't explain it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I was going to say, like, you both have resumes, right? Okay, done. But what you both do well are individually and togetherly just are operating on all your fucking A cylinders by doing what you do. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the magic.
Yeah,
is your own work.
I feel like that's the most, I mean, it's fun. And I think Joel and I, you know, I have another writing partner that I write musicals with sometimes, and Joel is a composer writing, and we both, it's whether it's to write something serious or if I'm writing a script for something or whatever, I think what I find is like, it's fun to wear these different hats in a bunch of different ways, but it's all synthesized into this one kind of umbrella of just like making laughter, telling stories, putting that stuff out. But I do feel like the truest moments are when it just comes out of us, because it's like, I just like know how this needs to be done. And I love writing for other people as well. But there's something very freeing in just kind of being like, no, this is how, we know exactly how that level of silliness, how it should be executed or whatever. You know, it's fun to play in our own sandbox, mm-hmm. I guess, right. too.
Like, that makes us laugh so hard. Hopefully others will also enjoy it.
Exactly.
Listen, yeah. That's the only trust I have. That's the only trust I have, because I remember last year. Okay, so here's the thing about the Advent calendar last year. So Nick Cordero and everyone was telling us to do something with these carols, particularly Stable Girl, which we sort of knew in our hearts was something, but we didn't know it would be, you know, what it ended up being. But we didn't record Advent calendar until the entire next year, right? So the party was in 2018. We didn't do this until 2019. And we were planning, and we got together for one day and just sort of like futzed around. We were planning to do this from our phones in her apartment, like with a little fireplace and a tree. We were not planning to do it at Nathan's right off the bat. And then like a little bit before, like a week or so, maybe she was like, hey, you know that place where I've done my comedy reel before? My friend Nathan could film it for us and it would look kind of profesh. And I was like, Julia, like, we haven't planned anything. Like, we can't have a professional taping of something that we're just making up. And she was like, no, it'll be cool. But little did I know that, like, that was actually what sort of, I think, flipped it into a different category, was that it really looked good. It looked like an IFC sort of TV show special.
Mm-hmm. It looked like At Home with Amy Sedaris.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sort of legitimized the tomfoolery. But what was so great is I didn't know it was going to look that good. I thought it was just going to be whatever. So I didn't know what we were doing.
Oh my gosh. Oh, no. Oh my gosh.
I'm good.
Are you Dana okay? Fell down.
Did you fall from a sitting position?
He fell from a sitting position. I am oh rattled. The glory. It was a pratfall.
Is that a Bob's Burger calendar?
Yeah. Wait, it was an arms up, gorgeous fall. That was one of the greatest things I've ever witnessed, only because you're okay.
I tripped over those fucking Play-Dohs.
Oh my God.
From a sitting position?
No, I'm standing. I went full down. My whole body down.
There was also a siren at the same time. I was like, oh, they knew it happened.
Oh my God, that was...
I've fallen and I can't get up.
That's actually one of the calendars we didn't film this year, was something along those lines.
It was gonna be a Grandpa Joe, like not selfish Grandpa Joe not getting out of bed for the golden ticket kind of thing, of like a guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Christmas. I haven't walked for whatever years. He's the worst. And then that he stands and then falls. We never really found the the joke.
Dana found it.
I found it.
Yeah, you found it. A fall's always funny, as long as everyone's okay.
That was legit.
That was fierce.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that With brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Anyway, but we were, I'll just go back into it if that's weird. So we were filming with all this equipment. I didn't know what it was going to look like. And I couldn't tell what was a good take or a bad take because I was like, I either laughed during it or it felt messy to me because I'm a perfectionist. And Julie was like, nope, we have it. That's it. Let's move on. And I was like, are you kidding me? And then, not that I didn't trust her already, but then when they came out, I trusted her even more tenfold because the takes that I thought were messy and sloppy are the best golden, like, magic-y takes where it's like either I crack up during it or we're both or the improvs are so unhinged but match up.
Yeah.
Like we did that's this holiday ambiance one. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's my favorite thing about filming comedy is that as opposed to live, anything that you kind of try over and over again or you're doing on stage, like something filmed, it's you capture lightning in a bottle and then you know once you get it, you don't have to do it again. Like it's funnier when it is like a magical energy that can't be repeated. And then you're like, great, let's move on. And all of this is like having Nathan behind the camera is our anchor and godsend, because I think he's the one that can also remind us like, this is for fun. This is silly. Like, we got it. Trust me, that's the one. And we're like, great, we can move on. Because I think we can, you know, be in our
own. And he's a performer and like a hilarious person. So he can be like, you know, what'd be really funny is add these head motions or keep your eyes open for this. It's funny. Or if he's laughing his ass off and falls off his chair, then we know we've got it too, you know?
Yeah.
An extra pair of eyes is everything.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. And just a little bit of an audience. But yeah, last year was so much fun. And like, I think I was out of the country during most of it because I was touring on a little gay riverboat in Europe, but every single day I got one, I didn't remember what we filmed because it had been such a whirlwind of a day. So every day that Julia posted, I was like, oh my God, not only am I seeing this for the first time, but so is everyone else. And it was so fun. And December flew by so fast.
And that's what's happening this year too.
I know, it's already the 7th.
Yeah. What was your timetable this year? You knew you wanted to like film them again. Like when did the action start?
You'd think having an entire year of knowing we wanted to do another one would have made us build a list throughout the year, but it was right before it. We filmed the week of Thanksgiving, probably that Sunday before Thanksgiving, all in a day. And maybe a week before that, or a few days before that, Joel had gotten back into town, and we had separately been having like a Google Doc that we'd been working on it. But then we had like a day together to hammer out some new ones and put chords to some other ideas and share stuff. But she was slapdash. She was last minute, and I think we were a little more prepared. Even so, we were a little more prepared this year. But it was much harder this year. It was so exhausting. And we were both, I think there was like the sophomore slump thing. It's like, wait, we have to top ourselves. We did it last year. We have to, you know.
Yeah, that's
and the villagers wanted that. You know, at the end of last year, they were like, more, can you do 4th of July stuff? And you're what?
Yeah.
What's next?
Isn't that, like, as the Jew at the table, isn't that what an advent calendar, like, does? Like, you get, like, little chocolates every day, and then you're like, I want more. And you're like, no, you're cut off.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a double lamb.
And that's sort of why we did the summer stuff with the COVID quarantine, because we were just like, well, everyone's at home and we need something to do. And so we wrote a bunch of tunes. And that's what actually the continuation of our collaboration out of the holidays in the COVID quarantine is sort of what I think gathered us some more steam. But and then we ended up singing on backup for Ben Platt on the Jimmy Kimmel live show, which was super cool.
Oh, yeah.
And also very surreal because I recorded that from my house in Iowa and then was like on national TV. It was so weird.
Yeah. But, I filmed it from a cabin in the woods.
Oh yeah. That's where you filmed and the same cabin you filmed New Cough.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
With the quickie.
I was out in the woods with horrible Wi-Fi. And then being like, hold on, I have to go film this thing for Jimmy Kimmel Live for Advent Calendar with Joel. It was so funny. Very surreal. Very like all of this gear feels fake.
And thank God for Ben. You know, he's just like posted our stuff and, you know, lots of people, but he's been like, you know, a total champion, yeah, which has been really fun.
Yeah. Ah, you guys.
Yeah. It was a good adventure. Are we going to do it again? I don't know if we can. Here's the thing. I can't think about it right now because, A, we haven't even gotten through this month.
I'm still tired.
I'm still tired. Here's the thing about it, though. This is so wacko. It's like we worked together that Saturday right before we filmed. So the day mm-hmm. before, I went to her house. We ordered like lunch and dinner. Drew was so sweet and would be like, look over the balcony and be like, guys, you need a break. You need to take a walk. Because we would just mm-hmm. be like in a K-hole. Be like, how do we get this lyric? But we worked that whole day.
Yeah.
And we were beat from that day. And then the next day we got there. And we even started the day like, oh, man. We've really set up ourselves.
It's an unsustainable lifestyle.
It is. But also the ones that we had written.
An impossible like, lifestyle.
Yeah.
The ones that we had like written and stuff took some like rehearsal. Because that's the other gag is that we wanted to give. We wanted to have a couple that were like, wait, who music directed this? Who arranged this?
Right.
And then a couple, and then a bunch of them that are like, y'all made that up right then. Like, you know? Right.
That's yes. why so, it's like Joel came in with the full arrangement of On the Brink, giving like, the only thing I helped with the lyrics, but otherwise it was like, teach me this arrangement because oh my god. And then we were like, let's start with a bang, with a musical bang. I'm so obsessed with that whole arrangement. And I was like, oh, this is next level from last year. And so there is it's fun to have that mixed with the nonsense. But it's funny because I'm thinking like, I feel like we could do it again next year. I do think like long game, it is the like, when does this end? Because like once you have 100 carols, that's too many carols. Like you might want to expand on ones you have. I think what we should secret into the universe is that we should have a holiday variety show special with some sketches and songs. And I think it'd be really fun to turn it into like, you know, us by the fireplace and going off into magical worlds, like an old variety show Christmas special or something.
Yeah, and then you could like debut a new one.
Yeah, exactly. Like something a little more. But I don't know. I think I bet we have one more year in us. We'll see.
I would love it if we could get sponsored for that year. That would be fun. But yeah, I totally agree. I think the Christmas variety show is an awesome idea because we could also sing ones, you know, especially if it gets a wider audience, we could sing ones we've already written, like from this year or last.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Absolutely. Right.
But also, I think
Judy Garland special.
Yes, exactly.
I think in our heart of hearts, though, Julia, correct me if I'm wrong here, but like, we really just feel like a fucking like insane live show would be so much fun.
Yeah, that'd be really fun too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Base level, it's just like joy. I mean, it's the reason we did it the first time at a party and then filmed it these two times. It's like if it ever gets more intense than just being like a joyful, fun thing that makes us laugh and makes other people laugh, like I think it's missed the point. Like I think the fact that it has a light touch, that it is something we put this really intense, fast, immediate effort into, but then it's something that like makes other people laugh during the holidays and is just something to like connect with other people. And it really does make the month fly by. I think to me, there is something that I love and I hope, you know, that we continue on with, because that is that base level is just like, it's just fun. It's just joy. Mm-hmm. It's a good giggle. You know, it's nothing more righteous than that, you know, and I think that's important.
It's also so cool. It's cool because like the day we made it, of course we said we were so beat, like, and and whatever we post on Christmas Day, the last Christmas Day, we literally filmed at like 1:30 a.m. like
cooked
to the but we were bone broth. We were dumpling people. We had nothing inside. We were rice wrappers. We were wonton wrappers. You could see through us a little bit. We were wasted away. And then the next day, we basically had to live in an ice bath. And like, of course, I was so and here's the thing. We didn't tell each other to like drink water or anything during the day.
We didn't drink water that day. Big mistake.
We were idiots.
Are you like the New England Patriots ice
baths? No. Instead, we had cocktails, but we never like had water. So the day after, we were like, we hurt because we're now old. And but what I love about it, though, is that like that day was, looking back at that day, I was like, we really were, first of all, out of shape. We hadn't been performing all year or working that long of an hour all the way. It was just like, wow. Like even sitting up straight for that long was like, there are muscles inside here. But yeah, what's it was cool a zero about to 60.
It is, I haven't sat up straight in this whole podcast.
It's like running, it's like what I imagine would be running a marathon and getting like a picture of you running across the finish line and then being totally destroyed physically for a while. But then you have that picture of you running the marathon. So you did it. And you get to like watch it and be reminded that you did it like every day of December. And then have people be like, every single day, be like, look what you did. You ran a marathon. And it's like, yeah. And it makes it worth the fact that you destroyed your body a little bit. But it's going to take us months to heal.
Yeah, it'll take us months. We need to go to some physical therapy.
Canyon Ranch.
Yeah. I have a question about the creation of it. It seems like you both have the same brain, right?
We have real crisscross, real melded
brain. Real crisscross brain. Have you ever gotten into a little like kerfuff or a little like, that's not funny or this could be funnier or those kind of like little, or are they too quick to like talk about those things?
Oh, you'd be amazed at how much we'll break down. And I might be more so the like, we have to justify this lyric. Like, I think in different points, like, I think we both get perfectionist in certain spots. And I think we'll both kind of be like, you know, we can come to a spot, be like, I really feel like this is what'll nail it and or make this joke come across. But like, wait, we have to remember, you know, like little random things. Like, it's funny. And kind of a thing that over all these years that I've come to love, like when it's weird when comedy feels like work, because it's like, well, you should just laugh naturally and trust it. And like most of the time you follow that. But like it does take some, it is math, it is rhythm, it is, you know, like it's fun to do that work. And so I think sometimes we've definitely kind of, let alone like on that day where it's like we're both just, you know, like tired and feeling like, are we gonna get this all done and everything, and kind of, you know, definitely moments where it was like, wait, what am I supposed to say here, and like, what is this? Like, there was one part, there was a song that we didn't fully find, but it was called Passive Aggressive Christmas, and we both just sat there and said passive aggressive Christmas phrases, and I remember going back and forth, and I remember realizing it was like in the 11th hour, and I was like having to acknowledge, was like, my brain is dying right now. I was like, I have nothing to offer, and I'm saying things that aren't working. And I was like, I had to raise the white flag and just be like, I'm sorry, I have to be the one to be like, I can't bring this to something glorious right now, because they would get hard at times.
And that day particularly, there were times where it's just like, I can't work on this one. We had another one too that was like, we had another one called I Can't Stop Eating that we didn't do. And we couldn't agree on the melody that felt right, because she'd be like, I think it's this. And I was like, I feel like it's funnier if it's faster. And then she's like, well, what about this? And then we went back and forth, and I was like, I had to read my right flag, and I was like, I'm not feeling this one. I got to be honest. I think we need to move on.
Let's circle back.
And luckily,
we didn't ever circle back, and we found enough of the other ones.
I think what's fun too is, well, what's fun is like, I trust Julia more than myself in a lot of ways, because she's like the Tina Fey of everything to me. And like, she's also really decisive. And like, if I make her laugh, it's done for me. So like, I'll just keep going. And if I get nothing, then I'll keep going. And if I get something, or if I even get like, oh yeah, that could work, then like, I'm sold. But I'll just keep going until she cracks a smile or something.
I love it.
Like one lyric from Lobotomize Me Santa. Lobotomize Me Santa, we were like hitting a wall, and I was like something like, I said something like, we just couldn't get the final thing, and I was like, soak it in gin and put it back in. And I remember she looked up from the couch and she was like, wait, yes, soak it in gin and put it back in. And I remember that moment, I was like, okay, we're gonna finish the song today.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because that was one where it was like, I had I'd sent Joel a voice note and I had this piece of it, and then that was, you were like, the soak it in gin and put it back in and send the bill to Uncle Sam was right. Joel throwing in the ending, and I was like, that's the button this deserves. Make America pay for this lobotomy. But there was another one, speaking of the like making me laugh thing, it was like in this list of like ones that are meticulous versus ones that are silly, there was one when Joel was over here, like kind of the end of the night here on the day before, and Joel was like, maybe we just need one that's a little boppy, a little this, a little, and he like made up, I think what I imagine in his mind was just like filler lyrics, like just something silly, nonsense, whatever. And it made me laugh so hard. And it has nothing to do with the holidays or Christmas. And I was like, we're not changing a thing. That's the song. Let's expand it. That's it. Like some, I love the moments when just like the laugh wins the gold medal. Yes. That's it. No need to think further.
And that's the best part about filming too, is like, it's such a weird combination of a day, because it's a combination of pressure we put on ourselves to perform it well and to do it well and to sing well and to actually execute it well, in combination with stress of, are we going to finish this all today? Combined with the enormous amount of honestly rare laughter that you don't get on the daily. Like, how often do you laugh so hard that you can't, that you're not making a sound?
The silent. Yeah, exactly.
Like, very rarely, like maybe on a game night with friends, but these days, like, you don't get that. And we have that in combined with all the other things all day long. We can't make it through. We couldn't make it through very, very, very many. I think it's going to be a juicy blooper. Juicy blooper. Welcome to the stage. Juicy, juicy blooper. Juicy bloops. She's a Canadian. She's a Canadian actress. But that's what's so fun too, and it's such a weird. It was probably like the most fun day I've had all year, because we're just laughing our asses off, and then immediately trying to get back on it and be like, okay, it's not funny anymore. We got to get this out.
We have to get the right take.
I don't know, and I think people like, we have to get the right take, and that's what's hard too, especially with the ones you're improvising. Because when we set ourselves up to improvise more, we're setting ourselves up to surprise one another more. And that's a recipe for only bloopers and getting nothing done. So we,
That's why I love improv in theory. Maybe not like in a classroom setting, but like as people, like I love that.
Yeah. Because then you find the magic that you wouldn't have like prepared for. Like it is the surprising stuff that then there are a few of those. But then the trick is like, okay, capture it, harness it, like clean it up. And then we do the take where it's like not as funny as it was to us the first time that we're like, we still have to make sure. But again, like, I mean, there are a few of those where you're like, I think there's one song that we never got a non-laugh take, and I'm so happy about it. Because I think
we couldn't do it.
So ridiculous. Because we were like, I guess this is it.
And then on top of all that like weird pressure we put on ourselves, we text each other like the day that we got the first batch. And we're like talking back and forth. And we're like, oh my God, I'm so flat on the last note. Oh my God, all my friends are going to think I'm not a musician. They're going to think I'm flat. Like I'm so... So we'll go back, like, and then we're like, wait a second, like, zoom out. People are going to just be laughing.
That's bullshit. You like, know it's bullshit.
Just for fun. I know. We kind of, Drew had reminded me that. He was like, you guys are doing this for fun. You remember that, right? Like, this is just something that's not. We're like, no, but it has to be perfect. It has to be executed masterfully.
I know. And that's what's great about it, too, is like the people who are watching, like, help us remind us that, like, they like all the stuff that is sort of off the rails too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been so much fun just to sit. I enjoy them every day. I enjoy watching the reactions every day. You know, it makes me just like, oh man, these are coming out so fast. Like I want to cherish the, you know.
And it's the same thing. Calendar is growing up so fast.
It's growing up. The same thing's happening where we're just like, I forget every day until Nathan sends us the next batch. Like what's next? And so we were like, oh right, that was at hour four, and that one just flew by. We don't remember that one at all.
No.
So it's fun to see.
Did you guys put together like a running order that you want these out in, or do you get a batch and then pick from there what to do next?
After we knew the first three, or the order of the first two, and then once the first one was out, I think I, to the best of my messy memory of realizing I don't remember a lot of the songs we did, I was like, here's an attempt at a list. And then Joel was like, let's move this and try this. Like we basically were just like, here's our loose, let's see if this gets us to day 25. And I think it's actually working well, because we just wanted to balance out ballads and up tempos and like the complex ones with the silly nonsense or whatever.
Hi-ho! Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
There are seven very well-known dwarves in history. If you were the eighth dwarf, what would your name be?
I'm going to go with, I think the dwarf name would be
LaCroix Bubbles. Snap.
Bubbles. LaCroix Snap. Bubbles, the slutty dwarf on all yeah. fours. She's always got a cheese plate.
Yes.
Everywhere she goes. And some bubbles. Julia?
I'm loving that for you. I would be... I think I would be cozy. Give me a blanket and a couch and a candle and a night in and wrap me up like a burrito. And I will just, I'll be like, you guys have fun. I'll see you later.
I love cozy. Cozy dwarf.
Cozy and bubs.
Cozy and bubs.
All right. There are a random number of reindeer in Santa's sleigh. If you were the one to guide his sleigh tonight, what would your name be?
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Prancer, Vixen. Comet, Cupid, Donner,
Donner, Blitzen.
Rudolph. I think I'm going to think of it like, okay, so I don't want to be Rudolph because I don't want the pressure on me. But right. I think I would replace when Dasher or Dancer retire, because I imagine they're at the front. Unless Donner or Blitzen, I don't know the order of how things go, but I'm going to treat this like a roller coaster. I like to be in the front to see the full-on magic flying view. I don't want to miss the view and see another reindeer's butt. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna be up front and replace whichever reindeer retires, and I will make my name Shonda.
Now, are you sled right or sled left?
I am sled left. I'm trying to think, like, when you fly into New York and which side you want to be on to look over the city. I want to pick the right views.
Where are you flying from? That's the question.
Yeah, where are you flying from? So, like, I guess the order doesn't matter because we fly everywhere, you know, with Santa. But I'm going to mm-hmm. say, no, I'll go right. I'm right-handed. I'll be more helpful that way.
Great.
Thank you.
This is hard. I think I want to be in the sleigh. I don't want to have to work and like run or ride it. I'm gonna be a teacup reindeer that sits on a little pillow and his name is Pigeon.
Adorable. Oh, where's the children's book for that?
I know, right?
I want Pigeon the teacup reindeer.
Pigeon the teacup reindeer had a very small disposition.
On a little velvet pillow next to Santa.
He That's didn't true. Do shit.
Exactly. His organs might fail any day of the week because he is very malnutrition.
Keep him under blankets because he's cold like a chihuahua. Shivering.
He was an accident. He was an accident caused by DNA and inbreeding from the other reindeer. Pigeon the teacup reindeer. He'll go down in his Oh no, he stopped breathing. He stopped breathing.
Pigeon. Someone get him.
Give him a snack. Give him his fruit snack. Give him a fruit snack. That's good. Pet him. Pet him till he gets back
Poor
up.
Poor pigeon.
Oh, he's awake. He's awake, Hi. Yeah.
But.
Oh, bless Pidge.
Maybe that's, well, we already wrote one for next year, so your listeners will get it.
December 32nd.
Head start.
I like that it starts with a bass line that's like.
Well, Joel and Julia, we've reached the end of our time, which is Boots McBoots. But where can people find you? Where can people buy your stuff online?
This is worth the spelling of at Advent Carolender, where Carol snuck into calendar. So ADVENTCAROLNDAR. Once you got that, you're flying, baby. We're adventcalendarstore.com. We're at adventcalendar on all the things. All right, not
she
on,
even added a TikTok to make this it more year. Complicated.
Oh, we're on TikTok. I think on YouTube it's Joel and Julia's Carol Collection, just to keep it a broad sweeping thing. We've really just kind of spread out, spread eagle on all the socials just to see what happens.
Yeah, we really just, and they're not all, you know, erupting at the same speed, but we're just trying to see what happens to spread the good news to anyone that'll watch it this year.
Yeah, and where can people find you individually and keep up with you in the other 11 months of the year?
Yes, Joel, take it away. You first.
I'm usually, honestly, I'm an Instagram queen, so it's really just my name, JoelWaggon, as in noodle, ER, as in round and round, we went and went. And that's my handle. And that's where I'm at. I don't post much, but I do post stories and really just go buy some nonsense stuff from the store and support us. And if you know somebody who like can get us, you know, on Ellen, that'd be great.
I love that. That Santa's wish list.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Get us on Ellen, that'd be awesome. And I'm also an Instagram queen. I don't really go on many of the others. I'm at Julia Matt. That's Julia, JULIA, as in away we go. MAT, as in Tootsie Roll. I like that we're only putting words to like two of the letters in our
yeah. Thanks for having us. That's H and ho, whoa there. And that's an S and us, as in sighing. Yeah, I'm sighing. Like a sigh. A yawn.
Thank you for being here.
Duh, thanks for asking us. Yeah, we loved it.
On that note, bye.
Bye.
In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Waggoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwaggoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out. And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.